At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, Big Z here. I just wanted to note for the podcast, we had some technical difficulties, so sorry if audio is not up to our usual high quality. But in addition to that, our producer, Kid J, as I mentioned on the episode, is traveling right now. So yours truly, Big Z, is back in the producing chair for the next week and a half. That includes last week's episode. So it might not be as smooth, but there's always a great conversation with the Glue Kool-Aid crew. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the pod.
Blue Drinkers! We are back, baby. Ooh. We are back. The Lions are back as well in the win column. They moved to 2-1 with a 20-13 victory over the Arizona Cardinals. Mm-hmm. As Dan Campbell put it, a gritty, gritty game.
Yes.
We are going to dive into everything about this game and the aftershock effects of it, if you will, with the injuries, which there is a plethora to go through. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew.
Plethora.
That is here. We got Bob.
Hello, everybody.
UJ.
Ooh, top of the morning to you.
And last but not least, Rut Dog.
Yo.
All right, so gentlemen, the Lions go to the desert. They walk away victors 20-13. They come out guns blazing. They come out really strong. First possession was like that classic Lions opening possession under Ben Johnson. clinical, 9 plays, 70 yards, touchdown, 4.5 minutes. Then they give it back, and then the Lions score right back. Jake Bates misses first extra point, though, in this game, first extra point of the year. But let's just I wanted to first talk about the defense in this game. I want to start with them because they really stepped up in this game. The offense, 20 points in the first half, 0 in the second half. But they held Kyler Murray in check, who had like early kind of MVP buzz through the first two games. He lit up the Rams for 40-plus points a week before and completely shut them down. So I'm going to throw this over to you, Jay, first, since it is your birthday. I'm going to start with you first.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, this is my birthday present to you. I get to give you the first word about this game.
But 11-1st.
What did the Lions do to how did they execute their game plan so well?
Initial instinct reaction, I should say, is that our pass rush was very, very disciplined in this game, very disciplined and very effective. We were not letting him escape too much, we were seeing him do it against the Rams and the week before. And we kind of kept him in the pocket most of the time. He got away a couple times, but nothing that really hurt us. And the second thing that we did good was our secondary. I think we saw the beginnings of our secondary gelling in this game. And I would like to say this is kind of a breakout game for Terry and Arnold, too. Even though he had a couple rough spots in the game, I thought he played a really good game. So basically, our pass rush being disciplined and our secondary starting to gel were the keys to this defense here today.
All right, Bob, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the defense, it's really gelling. And the depth on this team is really good, too, because we didn't even have Anzalone this week. And the linebacker room, just next guy up, and everyone played a great game. And I agree about secondary and Terry and Arnold. I think he's been pretty sticky all season, you know, as far as coverage part, but then he gets a little handsy and all that. But I thought as the game went on, actually, he even got better within the game, not just this game in total, because he started off a little rough, but I thought he cleaned things up, and I didn't notice any issues as the game went on.
Did you guys agree with the pass interference call?
I sort of did at the time, actually.
I did.
There seemed to be some back and forth, but I thought it was pass interference. He was in the position, I thought.
I thought he was going for the ball, and the receiver jumped through his chest, and I don't know what you're supposed to do when you're going for the ball if the receiver jumps through
his chest.
I don't
think he was looking back towards the ball.
When he's not looking at the ball. But
he did. He put his hand up to the ball. He was reaching right to it.
I think because the receiver was starting to go for it.
To play the ball, in my opinion.
He definitely stepped it up after that point throughout the rest of the game. Blanket coverage on Marvin Harrison. Only gave up 20 yards, no touchdowns on 6 targets his way. When covering Marvin Harrison, at least. I don't know all the numbers after that, because that pass interference wasn't when he was defending Marvin Harrison. I believe it was Michael Wilson. But Rud Dog, the defensive execution by the Lions in this game.
I think we finally saw what Aaron Glenn was aiming for all early last year when we struggled so mightily against mobile quarterbacks, which was a disciplined pass rush, lane discipline, and not having to dedicate too many extra guys to the quarterback and containing him. And you saw that in that game. Like Hutch didn't always just go hell-bent for the pass rush, and neither did any of the guys. They kept a nice pocket. And a lot of times they're saying, you know, beat us with your arm, and he did a few times, but he also didn't plenty of times. And that guy needs to break free to kind of, I think, maximize his potential because he's so little. But, it was the front four executed excellent. And then, the secondary just got stickier and stickier throughout the game. And I think that's just the beginning of, like UJ said, the gelling. This is that defense. I think you're going to see this defense is going to be more and more suffocating week in and week out because they're just going to continue to gel, and we got the talent. And just one last point about that. I think Terrion is personally getting a little extra attention in these pass interference calls because I think he's getting some ticky-tack calls. But I think that's overall going to just make him that much better because he has to just play perfect then. And I think he's got that ability. So.
Yeah, I thought Terrion, there was one throw. It was in the end zone or like right at the goal line. He was defending Marvin Harrison. Just really nice. The use of his hands over the last couple of weeks has been iffy with the refs, but he did a really nice hand fighting with Marvin Harrison, won the inside position, and didn't allow him to get to the ball on an inside throw from Kyler Murray. So there is definitely, and you know the other thing with him too, like is let's just compare him to Cam Sutton last year, who was awful down the stretch. Even when like Arnold is basically in position every time. Now there is some of these ticky tack calls, but he's not getting. He's not getting burned on the sideline. He's not leaving guys wide open, except the exception of the Godwin touchdown against the Bucks, which I believe is his responsibility. But that was more of a assignment miss than hit, like physical ability, not being able to catch up. The instincts are very good. Him and Carlton Davis are a great 1-2 punch.
Davis, he played good.
Just talk about him for a second, because I think he's really setting the tone for that secondary. He's come in early as a leader. I mean, I think he really makes his presence known out there.
Yeah, he's sticky in coverage, and then like he is just an enforcer off that edge. He sets an edge as a cornerback, man. That fourth down stop where he chased him down and stopped him right with the slightest margin. Oh, that was the challenge. But that was fantastic defense. Even if they got the conversion there to stop a guy in that position like that, like for barely any gain. I thought he looked fantastic, and this is like him and Arnold is like shaping up to be one of the premier duos of cornerbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I got to say, down that challenge too, real quick, that I was kind of screaming at Campbell. I didn't think he was going to get that challenge, and he did.
Oh yeah,
and he did. That
was definitely one of his better challenges in a while, because this history of challenges is not. Let's not call it great, I guess.
Right.
This history
not
winning,
good at all, but that was a great challenge. I thought he got it from the naked eye. And
Dan Campbell, though, I don't think he plays challenges like we think you should pay challenges. Like, he doesn't, I don't think he plays them like, oh my God, we saw the review. We got a really good chance of turning this over. He even says it in his interviews, like, you know, it just felt like at that point, like, if we would have got a win, it would have been good. But, like, but you knew, you could have looked first. Like, and this one, I thought it was a good coin toss opportunity, slow momentum down in the game and everything. And hey, it got us the ball back. It was a turnover. So great call.
Yeah, I think the scenario helped too. The Lions being up 10, they had a, you know, kind of the ability to burn a timeout if they did end up losing it. If it was a tie game, maybe they don't go with that. But at the same time, also, it was on the Lions sideline. Dan Campbell was standing almost like within a yard of the play. So
yeah,
if he had the best view in the house of the result.
You know, I just wonder, and they didn't explain it, but I just wonder if they took into account Kyler Murray sort of sliding. Because once you start your slide, that's where the ball is, right? And then, you know, but he reached over the line, I think. But he already started sliding at that point before he reached the ball.
Like,
so, but they never really explained that very well in the broadcast. But I think that might be what the case was.
It looked like from one angle that he was like the side of his leg was down. Before
I thought it was the calf.
Crossed the plane.
Yeah,
so there was video evidence.
Of that. Yeah, I thought he was down as well. But that also
if it was slide rule, if it's slide rule though, I think that's bad execution of the slide rule, because slide rule is supposed to be like when you give your feet up first, like, and you don't slide feet first, right? Because like if you're still diving, that's not sliding.
He wasn't diving like, though. He slid like a slide.
Like, he kind of like slid.
It's like a half slide.
It's like a slide lunge. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you might be right, UJ. I don't know. I didn't hear that part either. So maybe it was.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. But I mean, Carlton Davis, you mentioned him, seven solo tackles in this game, one for a loss, which is beastly. The Lions shut down the run again this week.
Yes.
I just keep taking unders for all these running backs of the Lions face because they're just not giving up anything. 17 yards on 9 carries for James Conner. He's one of the better backs in the league. Probably like a top 10 back.
Well, there's also another key stat we're dominating in. Points. Like, we haven't given up more than 20 points yet in a game this season. And two of them were under 20 points. Like, this defense is playing really high level right now, and we're still just scratching the surface because you can tell we're not playing perfect yet.
We'll get to it. Yeah, we'll get to it in a moment, but the offense needs to put away teams. We'll get into that in a second. But just staying on defensive side of the ball, Aiden Hutchinson again, another sack.
Stud.
Still leading the NFL in sacks, 2 quarterback hits. They did everything they could to possibly
mitigate
him. Not have him be a problem against another third-string right tackle. But man,
that is a problem.
I sent you guys a video just that the replay on his pass rush on the sack, just so clean.
Sick.
Like, dips the shoulder, chops the hands down, does a spin move right into Kyler Murray. Just absolutely clinical.
Speaking of Hutch, did anyone else notice when he got outright clotheslined during the last Cardinals drive for the field goal? Like, they just didn't call it. Like, he runs by the tackle. The guy puts both hands over his head and pulls him down by his head.
I'll go back and watch that one.
It's on the highlights because Murray completed the pass because he had the time. They just wanted these guys to try to make this a game at that point. Like, the script said, let them have a chance. It was just bad, man. He is a monster, and he was getting tackled and bugged all day. And to be fair, if you called all of them on him, the game would just be stalled constantly when we're on defense.
Right.
He's just so good.
I mean, yeah, but that's like something we talk about in the Rams game. Like, he was just getting held every single play.
Oh, yeah.
We thought, and there's a difference in getting held. Everybody is held almost every play in the NFL, but there's egregious holding.
Yeah,
And it happens to Hutch, it seems, more than others, and the rest just seem tired of calling it at a certain point.
Again, I want to thank Trayvon Walker for having a great combine.
Yeah. And,
Football's going on. Trayvon Walker. I'm looking on the box score. Oh, there he is. 1 solo tackle, 3 total.
How many sacks on the season?
The Buffalo Bills have scored 37 points on the Jaguars.
Does he have a sack on the season yet, even?
I don't know.
Well, anyway.
Real time stat check.
But speaking of D line, Levi continues to be ascendant. That guy is more and more of a force every game. He's right there with Hutch on a lot of these.
Oh yeah, he's great.
He's looking fantastic. Like honestly, like I didn't foresee this. Like I thought he was going to be more like go for that speedy, explosive type inside because he was a little underweight. But this like 25 pounds of muscle he's slabbed on and still being explosive. Like this dude is like shaping up to be like an absolutely great player. Like oh my gosh, he's a force in there.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely, and let's hope he can keep ascending. Let's hope he can stay healthy.
Yes.
Aleem was playing good, too, before he went down.
Yeah, and that, I mean, injuries. Like, I wanted to talk about Brian Branch is arguably the best player, the defense player in this game. And
Kirby, though.
Absolute
Kirby.
Shot to the head.
No, he
was gnarly,
on that one
man.
Over the
he
middle from Trey McBride. Both of them got knocked out. It was... a head-on collision. Although that technically is a penalty in the NFL, that the offensive player lowers their head like that. They don't.
That's
call
what
it.
I was wondering. But,
like Brian Branch is actually in the right position, and then Trey McBride lowered his head into Brian Branch's helmet.
That is true.
Yeah.
Like, they don't call it. It's really hard call to make, especially
they
in real time.
The offense.
To me, that's a fine no call. I mean, it's hard to take that stuff out of the game. You know,
it's
I
really
mean,
hard.
You can't call that.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it is then they just call it selectively, and that's bullshit.
Well, anyway, but you're right about Branch, though, Z. Branch had just another nice. Phenomenal game. His pass defenses, like every game, he, like, bats two or three balls away, and it's just ridiculous. That he's everywhere on the field. It's just so fun to watch.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
He's deflecting passes every game.
Yep.
Was it him that blew up the interception that would have been?
It was him and I think it was him and Kirby both going for it at the same time. That would have been a.
No, it wasn't Kirby.
Wasn't
it? It was the cornerback. It was that one along the left sideline, and Murray tossed it up, and Branch came flying from center field, but the cornerback was in phase, and he was leaping for the catch where he would have caught it right where the receiver was supposed to.
I think it
and
was Branch. I'm
Branch
sure it was
came
Branch.
Flying over and tanked him. You got to let the guy make the play who's in phase, though. He was in the perfect position. But, I mean, that's a little tiny nitpick because the dude's a stud and, you know, he's going for the ball.
Yeah.
Fault him there.
Yeah.
Absolute beast. I also have to say Rodrigo, I love his emergence, even though it's, like, injury opportunity. Like, because, like, the teams we just played, like the Bucks and stuff, they have these small, speedy linebackers who are just a nuisance to deal with, and he fits that mold to a T, and he kind of was a nuisance to deal with. He was all over the field. In coverage, rushing the quarterback, in run stuffage because he's got that speed to the perimeter, he can run dudes down. Like he looks good.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This defense just seems really in sync with executing the game plan that has been given to them by Aaron Glenn, and it really helps when you have a good secondary and a pass rush that's getting home
and good linebackers.
And we're going to need
really every level, and this is kind of the defense we're hoping for.
That Sorry, depth Bob, we're going to need because Barnes is going to be out for a while now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so injuries, Derek Barnes looks like, he's going to be out for a good portion is what Dan Campbell said.
Bummer.
A significant amount of time. So does that mean like the whole regular season?
That's a costly injury.
Yes, because he plays a unique position in this defense that we don't really have a backup for in a lot of ways.
They tried to make Houston that guy, but it didn't fit in the regular preseason.
Right, exactly. Because he's in this game, early on at least, he was coming off the edge a lot, and he's that Sam linebacker role, which plays up on the line a lot.
Campbell did mention Pascal having to step up in this because actually, like,
well, with Davenport gone,
that too,
Davenport. So that's the inevitable season-ending injury from Davenport.
It kills me to hear that. It just kills me.
I think this twofold injury, though, with Davenport and Barnes going down, like, because I think Barnes was expected to, like, carry some of the pass rush responsibilities opposite of Hutch this year. Like, I think they were counting on that Sam position.
Right, I mean, he was lined up
in
the opposite end.
Right, exactly. So, like, but, like, and then obviously you still had Davenport and stuff at that other edge. But now I think that they're going to run more basic 4-3 concepts because they don't have that Sam to play. Yeah. Unless they put Jack Campbell over there. He can do it. He can do anything.
Yeah. And but, they can mix it up with doing some corner blitzes and safety blitzes stuff.
If we get Iffy back,
we got guys who are athletic that can do it.
Oh, sure.
Right. Yeah.
And, I mean, names are also thrown out as other edge guys, or that Sam linebacker role, Isaac Uku and Mitchell Agudie, who are on a practice squad right now. They found some success during training camp. And
some. They tried late.
Well,
right. Maybe Ben Neiman in the short
term. Well, Neiman actually played in this game. And,
yeah, Neiman did play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and Campbell was kind of talking him up a bit. I got to be honest with you, during the game, I didn't really notice him too much. But Campbell seemed pretty happy with his performance in the game so and how everyone seemed to step up. So,
well, considering how well the defense plays as a whole, the fact that he didn't notice him in particular probably was good. You know?
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Stand out. Yeah.
He's doing his job.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
I do feel really bad for Davenport. This guy just cannot escape injury in his career.
It's too bad, you know. I mean, it was a good shot to take getting this guy for a year, but because when he's healthy, man, he's good. He's really good.
Hey, he helped us get a couple wins.
Yeah, so I'm not shocked about that one.
No.
No, I mean, this is a reason why he went for almost nothing. He went for like the minimum, so.
It blows.
Now the Lions might be in the market for either like the third, fourth wide receiver or a D end at the trade deadline. Don't be surprised. There is Hassan Reddick floating out there who hasn't played with the Jets yet.
He doesn't fill that role though. He's like an extra rusher. He's like James Houston. Like he's not another edge
Hassan
guy. Like,
Reddick? Honestly, he's more of an edge guy.
Oh no, Hassan Reddick's, but yeah, he's better than Houston.
Hassan Reddick is,
but he's
like
not a Houston type. He's like a linebacker edge guy. That's kind of what the Lions are looking for.
He can do a little more of the linebacker than Houston. But he is more like an excess pass rusher that you can rotate in because he's so fast. Like he's not. That's like his trait. Like he's an elite speed rusher off the edge, and you can use him as a weapon. He's not like a full down. Like guy necessarily, he's not an edge center. Let's just say that.
I don't think
maybe
he
can do some of the linebacker
one dimensional.
Yeah, I would just completely disagree, Red Dog.
Yeah, I do too.
He's more of a Sam than Houston is, but his strength is in he's just a pass rusher.
Red Dog has a feel to be on an island on this one because we all disagree with you.
I disagree. I think he's a pretty complete player,
but he hasn't been playing for the Jets. They're in like a contract dispute. He wants to get paid more, so I don't know. Maybe they'll trade him. Although the Jets traded for him this offseason, so it'd be kind of odd to
I think there's a reason he's even a moving piece at this point, and that's because he's not as complete of a player as you seem to think. I think he's an exceptional pass rusher with some ability in like as a Sam linebacker, but he's not a great Sam linebacker. He's a great pass rusher.
Yeah. You know, the more you
he just
keep
needs
explaining
to be an okay linebacker.
The more you keep explaining it, the more wrong you sound. So
I mean, you know, just because I sound wrong to you, don't make me wrong, but you know.
Anyway, on that note,
no, we're not there yet.
I mean, want to do it, they can sell the farm for Max Crosby just because that'd be so much fun to watch him.
Crosby wouldn't leave. He's would not leaving. So I wouldn't want him to leave.
I know.
Raiders,
the Raiders are just a mess kind of right now.
That would be amazing if they could pull that off.
Wouldn't it be amazing?
That would be absolutely stunning.
Crosby just be
can you imagine Hutchin Crosby coming at you if you're the opposing quarterback?
Oh my God!
There'd be a lot of soiled uniforms.
The problem is, it's a catch 22 though, because I would lose some respect if he bailed on the Raiders at this point.
Well, we don't care.
But then I get over it with the play. I get over it with the play. I'm sure. I don't think he's the kind of guy who's going to do it.
No, I highly doubt. They just signed him to a
long-term contract.
So.
If the Raiders decide to pull the plug on him and turn him into a blue-chip like trade piece, now we're just...
Now, this is all because Rud Dog lives in Vegas now, so he's getting Vegas size.
Right.
It's all getting into his head.
It was funny.
He started hoping the Raiders.
I'm actually out here... I'm actually out here in Vegas with Rud Dog right now, and it's really funny. I talked to a few Raiders fans, actually. They're just like... They remind me of Bears fans a little bit right now, because they're just like... lost, you know, like this one guy was so upset today or yesterday. I talked to him and he just can't believe how they felt the Carolina like that. It was disgusting. He was just disgusted. It's just funny. Anyway, we're off subject here. So
yes,
anyway, yeah, let's get back
injuries.
On
the injuries. Lee McNeil, it looks like he'll be day to day. It looks like he'll avoid any IR time. Now, will he play next week? I don't know. That's the whole point of day today, I suppose.
Luckily, Brian, Ringo's playing pretty good.
Yeah, he is. And Brian Branch, he is in concussion protocol. But Dan Campbell did say today, as of today, he was doing pretty good. So maybe that is. And they have an extra day with Monday Night Football as well. So that could be key to getting him to return in time. John Kaminsky, still way off from returning. Yep. He'd be important to have back.
Rake Straw.
Pat O'Connor could be elevated or promoted from the practice squad. Pat O'Connor of
This is why the medical guy got the game ball this week.
Yeah, right. He did.
Was that who it was?
Yeah. Because they were constantly working all game.
By the way, I just want to mention Pat O'Connor is a St. Rita graduate.
About to mention that, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Where Bob and I both went to. So, go Rita. Yeah.
Go Mustangs.
Because the Lions drafted him a while ago, and then now he's back in the practice squad. Him?
He's had
it was like a seventh round draft pick.
He's had a decent career, though, actually. He started with Tampa for a while and did pretty well. He's a pretty good player, so, you know.
We drafted Pat O'Connor? Wow.
Let me confirm that.
That sounds wrong.
I thought
I'm usually pretty good at drafting.
I don't remember. Two St. Rita guys that one year.
Yes, seventh round draft in 2017.
Wow. Oh, 2017?
Was that when we got Hughes? Or
with the receiver.
Donahue. Galladay, Donahue didn't last long.
Yeah. Anyway, I like the Rita connection. Anyway, carry on.
Injuries on the defensive side. Obviously, Davenport out. Barnes looked like about a long time. Now let's move this conversation to the other side of the ball.
Oh, all right.
The offense.
Let's
talk about the first half of the offense for now. They come out with just a great game plan, running the ball. Great. Again, wide open gashes. Cardinals had time to make adjustments in the first half for what the Lions offense was doing. A lot of counters using their speed.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Just really bully ball, honestly, especially the first drive. Just blowing the defense line off the ball, catching them on their toes.
So, I mean, the first drive went like this. The Lions obviously get the ball at 30 on the touchback. Montgomery up the gut for 11 yards. Montgomery for 6 yards. Montgomery for loss of 2. But then to Laporta for 12 yards. Goff to Brock Wright for 8 yards. Just sprinting around. Brock Wright twice on the drive.
Brock Wright had a big drive.
Yeah, Montgomery for 9, Montgomery for 14, Montgomery for 1. So just chipping away, nice and efficient drive. They really go at it. Now the defense gives one back right away, but the Lions respond right back again. This time it was Gibbs' drive, and then a nice long third down conversion to Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had yet another good game.
Yes, he
did.
And this is the second drive on Amon-Ra scores his touchdown. On that drive, Gibbs was wide open over the middle. I don't know if you guys saw
I saw that.
He was wide open, like 5 yards of him, and then Goff squeezed it into Amon-Ra. So basically, he's throwing Amon-Ra no matter what on that play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But lucky, you know, you gotta get your best player his touches.
That's right.
So they get it there. Fun a celebration by Amon-Ra.
That was interesting, cool. By the way. Yeah. Where does that come from, Z?
It's some social media, I think.
Some social media guy. Influencer. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I was reading about it.
I didn't know about it.
Well, you read about it, Bob?
It was fun, though.
I only know it's guys to not.
I just know he's some social media guy, and he's got like 15 million followers or something, and he did this crawling thing.
Okay. No, anyway. It was funny anyway. It was kind of neat. So.
Yeah.
Amon-Ra is the modern receiver.
This
so.
Is going to get away from us more and more as these new generations come up with social media.
I think there was another
like,
receiver in Pittsburgh or something who did it too.
Oh,
the
yeah.
same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So,
it's going to get real bad as Gen Z hits the league.
Get off my porch.
All these celebrations.
All
right. It was good,
but nonetheless, then the Lions go down the field at the end of the first half, and with 29 seconds left, called just a phenomenal play.
Cool
the hook
play
and ladder.
So good.
Oh, yeah.
The pitch to the throw to Amon-Ra, a little hook. Gibbs comes across formation, receives it, uses his speed. Sam Laporta, great block on the outside. He paid
That's
for
so
it a little
dope.
Bit, unfortunately. But touchdown Gibbs. It was all over the internet, that play.
Yeah,
nothing better than a good old looking ladder.
So go ahead, man.
I was going to say his stat line on that was 0 receptions, 20 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
I know. That is a weird stat line.
But what a fun play.
I don't understand that awesome. Stat line, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's strange they give the catch to Amon-Ra, but the yards to the other guy.
Oh,
really got 20
so
of
that's
them.
What it is. Okay.
Well, it wasn't a 20-yard play, was it? Wasn't it longer?
I thought it was 21, more. I think 21 split yards.
It was just
right, it was longer.
It was just the most sublimely, beautifully executed play I've ever seen. Amon-Ra was just so casual that the flip with flipping the
it
ball
so
over.
Dope.
It was so seamless. It was beautiful. It's just a thing of beauty.
That's just the type of play too that you get. This is the third year in the Ben Johnson system, right? There's this, and a lot of these guys, their third year in the system. There's just a lot of familiarity. They probably practiced and executed that play 100 times in practice over the years.
Yeah.
And when you pull it out to use it, you just know like the back of your hand, just the timing and everything like that.
Yep.
That's very much a timing play. So,
I will say this
let me
is
just
the most.
Say a quick word about Ben Johnson.
Go ahead.
Last week I had him in my thumbs down column or whatever, falling column.
Right.
Or,
down.
Yeah, he had a bad. I thought he had a bad game, but this game I thought he actually called a very good game. But I thought one interesting thing about our run game, when we call our right runs, we're great. But when they guess what our run is, we get stuffed right in the backfield.
That's
there.
True.
It's like that fourth down to Monty. Times,
but
The fourth down was a little rough.
Overall,
I was hoping for like
a good game.
QB sneak. Should have been a QB sneak.
Goff
is
not the QB sneak type.
No, there's not that. Goff can do it. We've seen it. He's 6'4". He ain't a little baby. He can do it. It's the play. You have Frank Ragnow at center. You need one little bitty yard. Like, God, that one frustrated me. I'm not going to lie. Like, it just was like, to be fair, we ran behind Sewell. So, you know, I can't totally hate on it. But it just was the wrong play, and it was obvious.
I just think 3 games into the season, opposing defense has scouted us pretty well from last year. It's getting a little harder to get some of these plays off, especially to the outside perimeter plays. We seem to be really struggling with some of those lately. Yeah. And I think but we've been scouted so well. So it's up to Ben Johnson, and I think he'll figure it out. But he's got quite a challenge in front of him this year.
Well, the Cardinals are definitely ready for the JMO reverse in this one.
Oh, God.
The Lions seem to run it once a game now, and they were really ready for it. I think they lost like 9 yards on this one.
Yeah.
Hey, Rudd Dog, you're talking about running behind Sewell. What would you think of in that situation if they just hand off to Sewell and have
now
him
we're
run
talking.
Those 1 yard
awesome.
Runs?
Ooh.
Now he said talking. They should have done this for years with Sue.
They should just put
Sewell
at quarterback and have him take the snap and make it a QB sneak with Sewell. Now we're talking. But
give
a QB
him a couple yards. It should get some momentum.
A QB sneak or a play action would have killed there because the box was absolutely loaded. They would have taken a chunk out of them there.
You had to worry about those big guys with the ball, though. I don't know if you saw the Michigan-USC game where the humongous defensive lineman on Michigan, I forgot his name, he had a pick like at the on the USC 10-yard line, runs it 20 yards, and this little like 180-pound running back catches up to him, doesn't try to tackle him, just goes and strips the ball right back.
Oh, yeah.
He literally took it out of his hand like in an instant. So it was two chances of possession. USC got the ball back and eventually scored a touchdown on the drive. But it was just really funny. This tiny little guy is taking the ball from this humongous man. I think the thing is so tiny, they can't like find it when they're carrying it or something. I don't know. But anyways, I do agree, though. He's the big man with the ball. They just need a yard.
Yeah,
maybe that's like a Super Bowl type play. You don't want to get him hurt.
That wouldn't surprise me if Johnson does it, though, because he's thrown to those guys before.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd probably try it.
And Sewell is an exceptional big man. Like
he's a good athlete.
He's an exceptional athlete too.
I had over under 2.5 catches in our preview for the season.
Hey, how's the over under going on Jared Goff's rushing this year? Because he's just tearing it up on the ground.
He has won a game,
and he did it again.
That was a big one. Now, that was a big one in this game.
It's sealed the quarterback there. Game manager. My ass
sealed the victory. Sealed the victory.
That was a great play because Goff in the first half looked pretty solid. In the second half, a little shaky again. He got away with one on the 2-minute warning.
Oh my god. We can complain about the refs all we want, but we got the scale tilted toward us on that play, so thank you.
I thought that was a good call, and I think the network was showing a different clock than there, because I saw a different movie where they show the clock, and it was clearly the two-minute warning.
I think it was a good call, but there are times in the past where that call would not have gone our way. You know what I'm saying? Wow.
But it was weird.
Goff made it seem like he knew the play was dead right away.
That's what I was going to say. It seemed like the offense knew the play was dead, and that's why like the blocks got – like the gangbusters blitz didn't pick up on it. And
that's why Goff was pissed that he got hit on that, because he thought the play was dead. He's like, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. Anyway.
Maybe. I guess we'll never – did he explain it more in the post-game conference? I didn't see any quotes about it.
Regardless of accuracy, you know those Cardinal fans were butthurt about that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, you know you would be pissed if you watched Lions.
It was the other way around, we'd have been not too happy about it.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of fans, I don't know what the numbers were, but it seemed like half those fans were Lions fans.
Oh, my God. There was so much blue out there. So much blue.
It was. Sweet.
It was a lot of, I thought the Cardinals fans were pretty loud in their own right. The Lions had a bunch of, like, procedural penalties and false starts in this one. There was a lot of energy in the game from both sides, for sure.
It was a battle.
It was a fun,
hard-hitting game, man.
It was a battle. I felt like if maybe we had dominated on the scoreboard, but I felt like we pretty much handled that game. Like I felt like I never felt like the Cardinals were going to take that game from us. I felt like this felt like the Lions of last year, where they took over a game early, and like even if they didn't play pretty, they were just the better team, and they took care of business.
They did enough on offense to keep getting first downs and moving the clock along.
Right,
and when they didn't score in the second half, but when they did have to punt, Jack Fox has had a perfect game, one of the best punter games you'll ever see.
Super
Everything was awesome going within the 10.
He was, and Campbell gave him a lot of credit too, deservedly so. He's been fantastic.
I thought he was going to get the game ball, not the injury guy. That
one. Oh, yeah.
No, but Fox has been just brilliant this whole year. Absolutely. But in this game, what was the average? On average, he pinned him on their 8-yard line on five or six punts in this game. So,
yeah.
It's fantastic. Just fantastic.
And Jack, UJ, they like remember the old Tom Scaldini days or whatever.
Yes, I do.
But he was a good punter, and he'd hit it like 54 yards or something.
Yep.
Now he's booting these things 60 plus.
Oh my god, right. I know. It's just ridiculous. No, he's just brilliant. I know there's a couple other good punters in the league. I can't name them right now, but Fox is right there. But he's got to be top 3, top 4 in this league. He is fantastic. Yeah, yeah. He's fantastic.
Jack Fox punted the ball 5 times in this game. 1 went for a touchback. The other 4 gave Arizona starting field position at the 2, the 12, the 9, and the 6.
Yeah, average at the 8, right? I believe it's the average at the 8-yard line. So fantastic flipping the field. I mean, that's what you want your punter to do, flip the field back. So, and then he's been doing it. he's been great. So
well, and the way our defense played, it worked
just right. Exactly.
Yeah. So if you look at it, special teams, besides the missed extra point, I thought they had a great game all around. Special teams. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely a strength of this team, and one of the top five units. Well, like, since Dave Phipp has been.
It's one of those things.
I love Phipps, by the way.
Hey, take seriously.
Phipps is the best interview. Like, the guy is just so fun to listen to talk about. He's like the best. But I just got just a brief comment here that this dynamic kickoff thing sucks. I mean, this is bullshit. Everyone's just booming it out of the end zone. It doesn't matter. I think if they're going to keep this thing, they need to make it the 40-yard line is a touchback and not the 30, because that will change. This is bullshit. Yeah. You kick it in the end zone. The guys run 10 yards just because they got you.
It's even worse than
the old one. At least they're running down the field. There was something moving.
Yeah.
And these guys are standing in one place waiting for the ball to land. You know, and then they, it's even worse.
They should just go back to what they did before.
I'm with you.
Or make it the 40. I'm telling you, make it the 40. That's enough punishment now. They'll kick it, believe me. They'll drop it in the drop zone if you make it the 40.
Well, whatever. Like, the 30 clearly ain't incentivizing, you know, kicking it into play. Like, their teams seem perfectly willing to not risk the return by just kicking it to the end.
There's no incentive. And every kickoff you do see return, it comes out to the 28, 29. Maybe it comes out to the 30. I've seen a couple, maybe 32. So what's the incentive to run it back?
It's interesting that UJ is an advocate for modernizing the kickoff because he watched football when they had leather helmets back in the day.
I know.
Traditional.
My first helmet was a leather helmet, Bob. And
And you when you hated when soccer style kicking came into the league.
It
should be straight on.
I hated that.
UJ was playing back when casualties were expected on kickoff coverage.
Well,
they didn't fly.
I can say,
you know, that's a thing though. Like, actually, back in the day, like when football was still young, kickoff was literally like a play where deaths every year were like recorded.
Well,
because the mass formations, they would make one massive flying wedge versus a massive wall and just collide at insane collisions and just like people die.
If you weren't dying, you weren't trying. But listen, I just want to say too, I was lucky. We didn't have concussions back in our day. They weren't invented till later, like in the 90s, I think, something like that. We were lucky we didn't have concussions. So thank God for that. I mean, we got our bells rung and stuff like that, but we didn't have concussions. They didn't know what they were. Or they weren't invented yet. So we were pretty damn lucky. That's all I can say.
Yeah. You got your bell rung a bunch of times, didn't you?
Yeah, but never had a concussion. The word wasn't even invented yet.
Yeah, there wasn't CTE. Football players just randomly went crazy.
Yeah, it's a different story.
So, do you guys have any concern? Jared Goff has the most interceptions through three games that he's had in his career.
He's just
not even with the Rams in their shitty days.
He's just paying the interception gods early this year.
You know, in this game, that one
was bad. He was lucky. He didn't look before he threw.
Well,
it was a trap.
I think it's defense. It was just a particularly good defense call on that particular interception, and it did look bad. But I'm not overly concerned at this point yet.
Not at all.
I'm not.
Yeah. I just want this offense to like put the gas to the pedal in the second half. They keep letting like the Rams and now and the Cardinals like hang around. Obviously. They're actually moving the ball between the 20 pretty good. It's just they're not finishing drives.
I think part of it too was the fact that Laporta's been banged up.
Yes,
he's been slow to work back into the offense, and he's a big part of it when they have it all.
I don't know how he's getting back on the field. He's sitting on the sidelines with this giant wrap on his ankle. Right, you think he's done for the game, and then all of a sudden he's back in the game. Like, what the hell happened? So I don't
feel like low ankle sprain for him. He's day to day as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully that extra day helps the Lions get him back. And
He's
Frank Ragnow, who has a torn pec.
He's a tough dude, though, man.
Torn pec, I should say.
I feel like they got to remind teams about J-Mo more often. Like, he, like, a deep shot a game should be, like, on the, like, the docket for him every
week. They tried one. Goff missed him.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did. That was a bad throw.
Goff had all day to throw on that one, and he had J-Mo open, and it just did not hit him.
He kind of got hit as he threw it, actually, if you watched that one.
Hey, but I got to send a kudos out to our running back combo. Our guys are fucking great. These guys are, oh, my God, they're fantastic.
Best combo in the league.
Best in the league. Best in the league. They're fantastic.
I'm with you, but, like, I still think Gibbs is kind of, like, getting his momentum again this year. He feels like he's not, like, he's leaving stuff on the ground. Like, I think David Montgomery is playing at, like, peak form right now, and Gibbs is still kind of, like,
Monty's
a little bit. How about the play where Monty was carried?
Yes.
He's off the ground. They're just carrying him. He's floating.
That was awesome.
Field. I was going to say,
what a fantastic play.
If there was a best play of the game, you'd think it would be the hook and ladder. No. That was the best play of the game when they carried him literally like 10 yards. That was so fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah,
Montgomery just laughing at a certain point.
You could tell it was hilarious.
Because he couldn't believe what was going to happen.
That was literally fantastic. He was carried like 10 yards in that play. That was utterly great.
Monty, like that, Monty is in peak form right now. He's playing great football. I think he's the better overall back, and Gibbs is, like, still, like, you see the Gibbs, like, the upside there because his average yards is still higher and everything. But I still think he's just not seeing the field as well as he even was at the end of last year. Like, he was really, like, coming on. I thought he was going to shred the league this year, and he still looks like he's just kind of getting his season legs back again. But that being said, it's like, if that's him getting his season legs, then he can do that all year.
Yeah.
He's doing great, but yeah. They need to find a way to get him more in space a little bit more, and that's Ben Johnson's challenge, I think. Cause...
Well, I think he needs to make better reads in the between the tackles.
When he does have a little bit of space, that's all he needs.
Oh, yeah, he hits it so fast.
Exactly.
We had a 1 yard, 18 yards was his long run in this game, right? 18 yards, I think. He's doing well. I mean,
no, he's doing fine.
Yeah,
but that's what, like, fine. But I think he could be doing even better is my point. I think he's still just getting in the rhythm of this season. And, like, it's only his year two. Like his talent is carrying him right now. But I think as he starts to see the field and everything slows down again for him this year, I think he's going to become nigh unstoppable. I just think right now he's still just getting in the rhythm of things.
Yeah, I thought they'd use him more in the pass game like they used to use. Who's that guy Stafford used to have?
Riddick?
Yeah, Theo Riddick.
Oh, Theo Riddick.
Yeah.
Use him that like that a little bit more.
And, Riddick was awesome.
Because he's just as slippery as Riddick is. He can do some of that stuff.
Riddick, like, okay, just since you brought him up, I just got to give a little love because, like, people, like, remember that year, like, Stafford led all those comeback wins that year. It was when we had the great defense. It was, I think it was 14.
14.
But, like a huge percentage of those comebacks don't happen without Theo Riddick being downright dirty and shaking dudes loose on the perimeter.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
just leaving linebackers on islands.
Oh, yeah. So breaking their ankles.
He was a huge part of those comebacks, and that was one of my favorite players ever to be a Lion, honestly. And, like, I'm glad we got him when we did. But, sorry. Anyway, that was my little nostalgia. Thanks, Bob, for bringing it up.
Tim Patrick had another catch in this game, one 8 yard catch. They still probably need a little bit more out of
from him.
Yeah,
the fourth wide receiver.
I think he's getting comfortable with Patrick, and Patrick's a veteran. And I think I don't think we're going to need to get another receiver. I think he's going to just get more work as he goes along here.
I like the idea.
You might be right, Bob. You might be right. He learned to drag his toe, I think. They worked on that.
Yeah, that's right.
Dan Campbell keeps, like, bringing him up in the post game, like, being like, he just fits. Like, if this dude stays healthy, like, I think he'll really take that, like, that missing piece of Josh Reynolds over this down the stretch here.
It's a good opportunity for Patrick, too, to be in this offense, and he can get some make a reel for himself, you know, for his next contract.
True.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But as long as we're talking about receivers, Amon-Ra is still just killing it. This guy is an absolute freaking stud. And he's worth every penny, this guy. I mean, 7 catches, but they're all big catches. Every one of them was big and important. And
sealed the game.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
For help.
What a guy. What a guy for golf to lean on, man. Have a guy like that. Holy cow. Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to see better second half adjustments from our offense going forward.
Yeah.
It's been a little rusty.
Yeah,
to start the year, they seem to like come. This is kind of something we've seen throughout the Ben Johnson era in a lot of ways. They come out strong, great game script, and then things slow down in the second half. We saw it in the NFC Championship. So something's got to change in that regard.
Did you hear Campbell talking about it last week? And he said the offense will probably be a little choppy until the bye week, you know, because it takes a little while to get things going. So,
yeah,
hey.
You know,
I mean, this is preseason still, right? This is the third preseason game, quote unquote.
yeah, right.
I hate the early bye, but maybe this is a good time to have an early bye because we're getting nicked up like we are. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
the bye always comes at a good time, no matter what it is for injuries.
Good point.
We do have another matchup with someone we scored a lot of points against last year, so this could be the game that gets the offense on track. Granted, we lost that game, but we scored a lot of points in it. The Seahawks, that is.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Monday night will be fun. That's another team, Lions.
Revenge, let's go.
Yeah, this time the Lions, they are the revenge. They are out for revenge this time. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
they're not the ones that are, on
being
the opposite end.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, that's kind of the Cardinals too. We've been kind of have like weird luck against them over the last, like the tie.
Have we beat them
in recent years? I feel like we've usually come out either tied or like losing. So,
but
this
Kyler Murray was supposed to go to the playoffs a couple of years ago, and we kept him out.
That's right.
We beat
a Cardinals team, and they weren't ready for him. The Lions, man. They weren't ready at all. And they thought they were going to coast through that game.
Season?
You're right.
Yeah.
Good call, Bo. I forgot about that.
The Lions are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5-0-1 against them in the last 6.
Okay, I totally.
That's pretty good.
We've won 5 of the last 6 matchups.
Yeah, yeah.
We played them so many times. I know we did lose to them before, but that's because we play them so many years in a row. There's a lot of results.
Yeah,
yeah. Because usually they're last and we were last in the divisions, and that's why we play each other so many times in a row.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see a mobile quarterback who was having rampant wild success suddenly hit a brick wall against our defense. Because he was just lighting up the season. Kyler.
Connor would be proud if he was on the podcast.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because there's a text that the Kyler Murray had a run early in the game. Derek Barnes did not keep contain. Kyler Murray broke it.
Yes.
And then Connor sent the text. Aaron Glenn still hasn't figured out mobile quarterback. he didn't even give it like a whole series. And then he shut down the rest.
But they did figure him out pretty well. They held him.
Yeah, they did.
Running yards, and then they contained him passing. So,
oh man, this defense. Guys, I think we're like this defense might end up near the top part of the league, like in the top 10, maybe 5. I don't know. Like there's some really key.
The potential is there right now. I agree, Red Dog. Potential's there.
And if the offense continues
if he
to
comes
gel,
back.
A preview of my next game pick, but I think J-Mo is going to be big next week.
A preview.
Wow, a preview prediction.
J-Mo did have his one reception was really dope, though. When he caught that short pass and
talking to Mike.
Right on my mouth. What can I do? We caught that pass short and managed to totally torch the corner for 9 yards. Still, it looked like it should have been a no gainer, but he got a first down on it instead. That wicked speed, man. It's just he's so good. I can't I think he's good. You're right, Bob. I'm with you. I think he's gonna bounce back on the stat sheet anyway. Next.
Definitely. And I hope Ragnow is back. Hopefully when we record later this week, we'll hear more about
pissed at. We can't lose him. He's a huge.
Oh my god, he's a huge part of this team.
I think he's tough. I think he's going to play through it. Is my guess. He'll gut through because on the bye. But
he'll have another inoperable injury after this year. But it won't matter.
Rayno's not going to have any tendons attached to any muscles by the time he retires.
Yeah,
but it looks. Oh, the guy's just a warrior. He's fantastic. So our O line is just, man. I mean, you know, they
play better.
They're fantastic. I mean, they gave Goff some pretty decent time in this game for the most part, and the run blocking was fantastic. I mean, 177 yards total. I mean, you got to give them credit. They're just solid, and they're warriors, man. These guys are fighting their asses off it out there. I got to give them so much credit, and a big reason why we're a good team. So God bless them.
Our top linemen are so good right now that. Aren't you always like a little disappointed in them when like it's a false start from Taylor Decker? You're like, come on, like you're one of our best players. Why are you doing that? You know, like
I know, right? We're spoiled. They're spoiling us as fans.
Yeah, they are.
Like, how many times in years past would our strength of our team be kind of sucky out the gate, and that just meant we were sucky as a team out the gate?
Well, you know, like, look at the way the season's going right now, okay? Minnesota is gangbusters right now, okay? They came out out of the gates fast and hard, right? And they're playing really good. I give them a lot of credit. But and we're 2-1, and it seems like we're struggling. But I'd rather be struggling now early and – figure this stuff out as the season goes along. And I think this is kind of the direction we're going right now, because I think our team is really solid and we have a lot of depth. Even with some injuries and stuff, I think we're still going to be okay. And we're going to get better as the season goes. And I'd rather be gelling at the end of the season than at the beginning. So
I think
we're
okay, right?
Is all I'm saying, basically. We're okay.
That's going to be a fun matchup with Minnesota, though. That team's fun. Ooh,
They're going to be tough. They're going to be tough. Yeah.
So the rest of the division, the Vikings kick the Tech.
Whoa, we lost Big Z.
They kicked the Tech.
But yeah,
the Tech.
UJ, that's like by design. Like Dan Campbell always talks about the season in phases, right? Like you're not supposed to be at peak for the first four games of the season. Like you're figuring yourself out.
Chris talked about everything like that too.
Yeah,
but bring his name into this. What are you doing?
Belichick was saying Matt Patricia deserves some credit for how the Lions.
I couldn't believe that. I couldn't even believe that.
What a Bill trolling, an old now
man. He was great. His time's passed. Who cares what he
is? I mean,
I guess on the side too, there is a couple of good things about Quinn did to leave the line.
Yeah, no, he drafted offensive lineman well. I'll give him credit for that.
Whoa.
He did.
Hold on a second, though. Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia are two very different things. Bob Quinn made, well, not like great, did do some good things. Trisha, on the other hand, can go die in
what?
Yeah,
what she likes?
Whoa.
Getting rid of Diggs to the
No. He got a
getting rid of Slay.
Ragnow and moves? Decker, was it?
He tore Ragnow and Decker apart, though. Man. He ruined that team.
He did,
but he did. He got Ragnow and Decker.
Quinn made a couple good draft picks. Okay, Quinn made some good draft picks on offensive line.
Good draft picks. Quinn sucked. But Matt Patricia deserves no praise whatsoever for his time in Detroit. And if anything, he deserves, like,
I said we should praise him because it led to Dan Campbell.
No.
Yeah, yes.
He's the rock bottom. We should praise rock bottom because, you know, we got to hit it some freaking time.
Like, if evil didn't exist, we wouldn't know what good was, right?
Exactly.
It's the same thing with Patricia and what we have now. So,
freaking Patricia, man. Were we sold a bill of goods on that guy.
We got biblical. We just got biblical here.
So, that's
let's
right.
So, quick division roundup. The Vikings moved to 3-0. They whooped on the Texans.
Yeah,
the Packers move to 2-0 under the Malik Willis quarterback, who had a career day against his old team.
So maybe Jordan Love's just a system quarterback.
Yeah,
anybody can play in that system.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, he is.
He's gone.
They're kind of getting the Lions treatment too. They're getting like treated different this year as well because everyone thought they were so great last year.
The Packers.
No, the Texans.
Yeah.
They were good last year.
I know, but everyone was just assuming that would, you know, they would be great this year. but
I mean they're 2-1, growing so not like bad.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
They, I'm just saying, they're getting the best great shots because like they were great.
Anyway, finish your roundup, Z.
So the Packers, yeah, they moved to 2-1, and 2-0 without Jordan Love, and then the Bears look.
The Z's horrible. Favorite thing to talk about. The Bears are terrible.
It's just funny because I'm in all these text threads with Bears fans, and all they do is just get angry. And it's the same. It's the same thing over and over. Yep. New regime and no offensive line.
The Bears fans should only care. Sorry, finish your points.
A highly drafted quarterback that they can't get the most out of, and they have all these high hopes at the beginning of the year.
And Justin Fields is 3-0.
Yeah.
You know, love it. There was this long text thread like going on, like all this back and forth, like them trying to say, like, oh, Caleb is actually not that bad. They just need, like, he just needs time. He's rookie quarterback. The line sucks, blah, blah, blah. And then all I did was text Justin Fields is 3-0. No. And they all got really angry.
I love it.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
Honestly, though, if you're a Bears fan, like, keeping Caleb Williams just surviving the season, any progression should be what they should look for. This should be a down year for them, like expected, like growth year.
Did you see the one play? It was like 4th and short on the goal line, and all the offensive linemen are like, they just all blatantly missed their blocks on like a zone play. Like it was an outside zone play. All the offensive linemen are like their chest or their asses on the ground at the goal line, and all the defensive linemen are 2 yards in the backfield surrounding DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh, man.
They're bad.
DeAndre Swift, not a well-liked running back in Chicago.
Oh, I was going to say maybe it was the nail polish, but it was a draw play. Okay.
Everybody's like, oh, we got a great value for DeAndre Swift, and now they're like, oh, we're overpaying for DeAndre Swift.
Hey, Swift's a good back, man. That line sucks.
It's awful. It's awful.
The line is terrible.
Swift is a talented back, but he's kind of a diva. Like, he's not a total diva, but he's kind of a diva. Like, there's a reason he couldn't last in Detroit. He didn't have that grit.
Well, he didn't last in Detroit because of injuries, mostly, I think.
Yeah, no. He was like, good,
look
man.
Look at Brad and Dan. They're willing to put up with some injuries. What they're not willing to put up with is the guy they think is sitting out because he's milking something. And we got that insight from Deuce and Hard Knocks that Swift is kind of not the guy who's necessarily going to be the grittiest. Hey, he's a talented back.
Not the grittiest, nothing against him.
But you know, the Bears was not the answer for his
Don't
career.
Don't slander Swift, man. That's a good guy, man. How
he's
dare you?
He's a fine guy, but like his grit, it was literally questioned on Hard Knocks. Are you questioning Deuce?
Yeah, he questioned your grit, too.
Ooh.
Well, his question's Ooh. Stupid.
Ooh. Slam.
Yeah.
So the Vikings are 3-0 atop the division. They play the Packers this week. Bears play the Rams, and of course, the Lions are hosting the Seattle Seahawks. So, anyways, we will wrap it up here on the pod. We'll be back later this week previewing the Monday Night Football game where the Lions will be wearing those black uniforms.
Yeah.
So before we wrap it up and I do my whole close, we have to sing Happy Birthday to you, Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
So
happy birthday to you. You guys really rehearsed this, I can tell. Yeah, very good. Thank you.
People dying everywhere. Misery is in the air. Happy birthday.
There you go.
Thanks, dog. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
That's
TJ. I appreciate
All right.
it.
And we, of course, also want to thank our producer, TJ.
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 TJ. For crushing it every week. Although I am this week's producer as he travels through Germany.
Big Z.
And doesn't get to watch the
Big Z.
He didn't get to watch his Rams come back. He woke up in the middle of the night to take a piss.
Oh, man.
What? The Rams came back? It's like, yep. That's what you get for traveling the world.
That's right.
But whatever.
That's right.
Yep.
So there's that. Sidelinereport.com. Thank you for supporting the podcast. YouTube at DTBK_Lions. Instagram, Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter, /X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts about that last game. What do you think of all these injuries, et cetera. We just want to hear from you, really. DrinkingtheblueKool-Aid@gmail.com. Every once in a while, we've gotten an email from some folks, too, and we've read it, those here on the podcast. But, I mean, I think that covers it all. We just want to thank our fans, most importantly, for sticking with us and staying with us throughout this season, this historic Lions season as they march towards Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Which maybe it'll be against the Lions and Bills in the Super Bowl. The Bills, another just blowout tonight.
The Chiefs. Chiefs are playing well, too.
Could be one of those two.
I don't buy Josh Allen yet. It doesn't
matter.
But anyways, we can talk about that in January. But for now, we will wrap it up here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.